Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Pressure Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Pressure Podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham.
Well, all right, we are back. It is the Press Row Podcast 2014 Sports Game of the Year episode. I am excited. This is the big one, the one that people have been waiting for. Always one of the most listened to and most discussed shows of the year. And we've also got our biggest panel ever for the show and for the awards, too. So an even more voices into the mix, which will only make this a lot better. The show is so packed, so big. In fact, we are skipping the traditional intros and just getting right to it, moving from left to right on your radio. Up first, from Pasta Padre, Mr. Brian Wiedeye. Brian, welcome to the show.
Yeah, despite any attempts by the North Korean government to shut us down, we're going through
with this
Press Row Podcast.
We are doing it. Up next, from U.S. Gamer, Ms. Kat Bailey. Kat, welcome to the show.
Hello, Rich. Let's go talk about why FIFA is the best sports game of the year.
Let's do it. Up next, from Operation Sports, the executive editor of Operation Sports, Mr. Chris Sanner. Chris, welcome to the show.
You know, Rich, I am expecting that Press Row MVP at the end of the show, just so you know. We do have that secret deal, so let's make that happen.
Totally secret. Nobody knows about it. Up next, from Polygon, Mr. Owen Good. Owen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rich. Thank you also for not mentioning my meltdown over the weekend in which I got laser beamed by the director of athletics at my alma mater.
Yeah, while you were having that, I was having the Eagles-related meltdown, so I think our meltdowns just sort of crossed in the sky. It was kind of an ugly Sunday afternoon.
It happened. So be it.
Up next, from Polygon, Mr. Sumit Sarkar. Sumit, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. As always, I'm excited to get down to talking about why. No, I can't. I can't even do it. I was gonna make a really bad, just hurtful joke, and I won't. I won't.
I think it had something to do with NHL, but we'll never know. Up next, from That Sports Gamer, Mr. TJ Lowerman. TJ, welcome to the show.
Rich, thank you for having me. I very much appreciate that you did not mention how Owen Good got beaten 54-0 by a semi-arcade video game.
That's a strike.
And I am Rich Grisham, and again, this is absolutely one of my favorite shows of the year to do. Lots going on. We're going to have even more fun this year than we have in years past. A lot of things are being kept the same as far as how we tally the votes and the points and things like that. We'll get into that. But for the first time, we are voting for a Rookie of the Year in addition to the Sports Game of the Year. We'll get into that in a little bit as well. So, but before we do any of those things, we are going to go around the table, and every one of our panelists is going to advocate why a certain game deserves to be the Sports Game of the Year, and then one of the other panelists will counter that with why that particular game should not be the Sports Game of the Year. Now, all of the different people advocating for a certain game does not mean that that is the game that they chose in their list of top three, counting down from 3 to 1. It is just an advocacy for a particular game for the purposes of setting the stage for later on when we reveal the winner of the Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year. So let's just get right to it, shall we? Chris Sanner, why should Madden 15 be the Sports Game of the Year?
You know, Rich, for the first time this generation, Madden actually got a good launch. It was a good, solid title. Defense was fun to play. You had both sides of the ball that actually, for the first time, it seems like in years, were a lot of fun to play. Now, Madden is not perfect. Let's just get that right out of the way. But what Madden did do is it launched without any real hitches. There were no major online bugs that completely ruined the experience for half of the game. There wasn't any of that. What Madden did, it just played a solid game of NFL football. There's a lot of room for improvement for sure in the series. But into the future, I have a feeling that Madden will be better than it is already. But what it is right now is an incredibly good game of football, better than any football game before it, I dare say. Now, yes, I just said that. NFL 2K5, we can put that one to bed. Because finally, Madden in all facets of the game on the field is actually really good. Just make sure you turn off the commentators because, my goodness, they're so terrible.
Kat Bailey, why should Madden 15 not be the sports game of the year?
I feel like he made his argument for me when he said, yeah, it's pretty good. It's adequate. It doesn't have any major issues or something. I mean, it's not perfect or anything, but I mean, come on. Madden NFL is a solid football simulator, and it's a definite step ahead. But, you know, my Minnesota Vikings also took a very nice step ahead, and nobody's calling them the best team of the year, right? Maybe next year the Minnesota Vikings will be ready to be a contender, and maybe next year Madden NFL 16 will be ready to be a contender. And I managed to work in my Vikings. There we go. That's why the Vikings are not the game of the year. Are the Minnesota... The Vikings aren't the game of the year, and Madden isn't either.
Owen Good, why should Pro Evolution 15 be the sports game of the year?
I feel like Pro Evolution Soccer 2015 is, well, first of all, I'm delighted to see Konami get back in the game. I mean, we've seen so much contraction over the past console generation that to have head-to-head competition that is truly meaningful is just, it's nice on its face, and it's good to have options. Pro Evolution Soccer's gameplay, as I said in the review that I did for Polygon, it was one of these things where it requires a lot of attention and focus, but I actually felt like I was grasping solid fundamental play of winning soccer in ways that I don't really know, or I don't know that I've experienced in other sports video games, or, you know, to actually like have an innate, you know, sense of learning about how to make this game, you know, function. It takes a lot of input. It is an innately good game. I think the gameplay itself is better than FIFA's. I think the spacing is better. I think the passing is definitely better. I think FIFA is a little more oriented toward big moment soccer. And so it's not the sexiest of sales pitches for Pro Evolution, you know, where it's like, well, you'll pass the hell out of the ball and really learn how to build up the offense. But it does play a meaningful and recognizable game of soccer, and that's obviously very edifying for people who are, you know, diehard fans and follow the sport a lot more closely than I do. I'm a little more of a casually interested fan, and even then I was having a blast playing the South American tournaments. It obviously, you know, I acknowledge that Pro Evolution Soccer, there are issues with the licensing. The modes are somewhat no frills. But on the merits and on what we say matters the most when we have all of the arguments, which is how does the game play? Does this look like a game? Does this play like a game that we understand and see in real life? I felt like Pro Evolution Soccer was the most true to life of the simulation sports.
Okay, we are going to hold the counterpoint to Pro Evolution for a moment. Before we do that, Kat Bailey, why should FIFA 15 be the sports game of the year?
Well, when you look at all of the different sports games that are on the market right now, almost all of them have some kind of major flaw. And I think that currently FIFA is the best all-around sports game out of all the bunch. It has the best career modes, it has the best online, it has the best all-around gameplay. And to say that Pro Evolution Soccer has better gameplay on the field, maybe it's true, but I also think that it's selling the improvements made in FIFA 15 a little short, because in the same way that people are saying that Madden is a more tactically sound game and a deeper game this year, FIFA 15 is the same way. Among other things, the formations and the way that you can construct your team and put them on the field matter a great deal more. And the goalkeeping AI actually makes a big difference in how you approach the goal, where you're not just friggin' blasting goals from the point anymore. You're actually having to intelligently attack the goal, which is a big deal for me. So in my opinion, the closest game, the sports game that has come the closest to matching FIFA in terms of being an all-around sports game is NBA 2K. And I feel that it has taken itself out of the running with all of its continued online problems and the way that it is kind of broken itself by having all of these server issues, which has not been an issue with FIFA. I don't think that most sports games have caught up with FIFA, frankly. People will argue that FIFA has or that this version of FIFA is too similar to previous years, but show me a sports game that is actually caught up in all facets, like to FIFA, from Ultimate Team to the way the dynamic way that the career modes are handled. I just don't think that there other sports games might do certain things better. That's for sure. Pro Evo might, in fact, have better gameplay on the field. MLB The Show might have better graphics and might be a truer simulation on down the line. But all FIFA is the all-around best sports game still.
All right, so I'm going to counter both Pro Evolution and FIFA as to why both of these games should not be the sports game of the year. And I'm going to preface it by saying that I love them both. I am a huge fan of FIFA 15, and I am a huge fan of Pro Evo 15, and I am delighted not only that they both exist and exist in the same space so that they can be competition, but just because they are so fun to play. However, they both suffer from the fact that they do compete with each other, and each of FIFA's strengths bring out Pro Evo's flaws more, and each of Pro Evo's strengths brings out more of FIFA's flaws. For example, like basically, if I could put the best of both of Pro Evo and FIFA together, I think we would have the hands down sports video game of the year. If you take the core gameplay on the field of Pro Evo and you add that to the licensed leagues and clubs and stadiums of FIFA, and you take some of the ways that players are represented individually and how clubs play differently in Pro Evo and add that into FIFA, and then you take the different legitimate tournaments and cups that FIFA has, but then you add in the Champions League and the Europa League and some of the South American leagues of Pro Evo, you would have just one mind-blowingly great soccer game. So really, it's almost unfair, but the fact is that Pro Evo and FIFA both highlight each other's weaknesses. To me, FIFA is spectacular, but it is when you play a game of FIFA and then you play a game of Pro Evo, it's almost jarring how video gamey FIFA is. But when you play Pro Evo, you yearn for the Premier League and the names of the clubs or the names of the stadiums. So the only counterpoint I have to both of these games is they're great, but the only way they could truly be the sports game of the year if they morphed together into a single game, which obviously will never happen and we don't want to have happen because we want continued competition. Sumit Sarkar, why should MLB 14 The Show be the sports video game of the year?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Rich, the one thing about MLB 14 is that it introduced a feature that really seems like it will be revolutionary across the entire sports game genre, and that's year-to-year saves for the Road to the Show franchise and season modes. Or maybe it's just Road to the Show. I actually can't remember. But that is something that everyone who's played that series had been asking for years, you know, and I think for a long, long time, certainly in my discussions with them and in Owen's discussions with them and probably in your discussions with them as well, you know, they were like, yeah, we hear you, you know, we're working on it. And they finally made it happen this year. Obviously, we haven't seen the implementation of that truly, because we won't really know how it all turns out until MLB 15 launches next spring at the end of March. But I feel like that alone, because it has the potential to have such a massive impact for sports games, if there is adoption across the genre, is really a tremendous argument for MLB 14 The Show. Also, something that's worthwhile is the ways that it made a full season mode, or you know what I call the TJ Lowerman special, playable, namely quick counts and player lock. You know, it really is. Those are really two features that allow you to get much more out of the mode. You know, and really feel like you are playing an entire game, and then an entire season. without actually having the ridiculously massive time sink of playing 162 nine-inning games. And certainly, you know, opinions vary. I know Brian's not a fan of quick counts, for example. But I think overall, if you look at the new features that they introduce, you know, certainly there are areas that the show can improve, like presentation. But the new features they introduced this year are all game changers, pardon the cliche.
Chris Sanner, why should MLB 14, the show, not be the sports game of the year?
Well, honestly, there's a lot of things that MLB, the show, does right, for sure. But there's three things that the game just still cannot get figured out. The first one is the presentation. While it was great, you know, 5-6 years ago, this year, the presentation just really isn't up to par to other games. I mean, the commentary, we've heard the same lines now since the PlayStation 3. The other thing is that the online modes are still just an absolute mess. You want to go online and play MLB the Show? Well, good luck to you. You know, you may get a game in, and you know, it did get better after launch, but there's just so many laggy issues, timing issues. It's just a mess still. And then the last one, and it's kind of a personal beef of mine, is the franchise mode menus. They just need a lot of work still. What is there is great. The franchise mode is incredibly deep, but good luck finding half of those options because they're buried upon menus upon menus upon menus, just not well laid out. So the game, while it's got a lot of strong suits, there's just three things holding it back from greatness, it seems like.
Brian Weedy, why should NBA 2K15 be the sports game of the year?
There was a distinctive difference, I think, in how 2K approached the game this year. I'll hit on that in a bit. But in all, 2K built on the successful aspects of the series from the recent years. They improved in their areas of strength, and they limited the reach of the weaknesses much more effectively. There were some big server problems early on, but they ironed them out quickly. They haven't come back since. So in general, the game has had stronger post-release support, which is a huge step up for them. More roster updates, and they've been more detailed. And there's a different attentiveness to consumer feedback that really it's been lacking over the years. They pulled back on the overwhelming implementation of the VC that damaged everyone's experiences with 2K14. And the recent patch they put out really showed a dedication to pleasing fans of the game. Most notably to me, it didn't focus on the revenue-generating My Team mode. That actually wasn't touched on in the patch, but instead it was gameplay, presentation, My Career, and My GM. So that was a pleasant surprise. NBA 2K still has one of the richest and most varied feature sets. My Career mode is hugely popular because of the story elements, something that other games haven't gotten to yet. 2K innovated not just with that, but online with the feature suite there, with My Park, the Jordan Rec Center, and the stage. And that just extends your connection with that created player. It's a big deal. And when those work, they're really compelling. Those are fun experiences, but they can definitely be improved upon. One other thing that says a lot about the game this year, I think, is that they added a brand new offline, highly customizable franchise mode. It's a shame it wasn't online too, but we'll take it right now because no one else is building franchise modes. I mean, EA is even coming out and saying that it's really not a priority for them to do franchise mode anymore. It's because they're making all this money on Ultimate Team, and that's where all their attention is going. So gameplay and presentation, those are still excellent. And all these features that NBA 2K15 has wouldn't mean much if they weren't. So 2K15 wasn't a perfect game. There was no perfect game this year. Nothing really even came close to being perfect. But it's an impressive game top to bottom, and I think most fans of the series and fans of basketball would agree.
TJ Lowerman, why should NBA 2K15 not be the sports game of the year?
I think Brian actually pretty much said it. NBA 2K15, 14, 15? I don't even know anymore. Too many wrong years in this year. It's a jack of all trades and a master of none. It has way too many modes that you're going to get bogged down and confused with. You have to deal with your VC stuff, which is still a problem that I don't want to get into. And it's still not very approachable for a casual gamer. I want to love this game. I want to play it all the time. But every time I play it, I get very frustrated, specifically with I will jump to block a guy, my whole body will be in his face, and he'll drain a three over me for no apparent reason. I feel like it's just stopping a lot of people from getting into it by its level of difficulty to get in. And I think it's very close. Maybe in a year or two, not only will it be the sports game of the year, but it might be one of the greatest sports games we've ever had. I just don't think it's there this year.
All right, let's flip the script. And this is a late entrant to the conversation. TJ Lowerman, why in the world should Super Mega Baseball be the sports game of the year?
Rich, there's a word that has not been mentioned much this show. That is fun. Super Mega Baseball is quite possibly the most fun game of sports video games that I've played all year. You look on Twitter, you see me, Owen, Brian, tons of people talking about how much fun they're having in this game, and it's been out for literally one day as of this recording. And I think it's amazing. Right now, me, Owen, and Brian are battling each other on the highest difficulty, seeing who can lose the least, which is pretty amazing because I just lost by 14 runs, which that's huge. Yeah, this game is really fun, and people will knock it for being very simple, but it has all the mechanics in there that MLB The Show has with the batting cursor and the pitching cursor and all that stuff. It looks like an arcadey game, but when you really get down to the nitty-gritty of it, it's actually a fairly good sim baseball game. And the funniest thing I noticed, which I hit a fly ball deep into the outfield, it one hopped to the wall, and it hit that little underneath of the mat that this game, there is no reason that little underneath of the mat should exist. That should just be a flat wall. But it's there, and the physics were there to hit that little thing and bounce back and roll out. That just blew my mind. Game of the year.
Brian Weedye? Brian Weedye,
let fun win.
Why should Super Mega Baseball not be the sports game of the year?
All right, I admit it's a tough game to argue against because it's charming and fun. But if all big publishers had to do was create a simple, small, fun game that takes some creative liberties, there'd be a bunch of great ones out there. A small team put this together, but ultimately what matters is whether its value equals or exceeds the price. It may not for some. It's $20, which is a little hefty considering it lacks features and content and any sort of licensing. Online play is the biggest omission. It's unfortunate because it could be such a fun head-to-head game. It's also important to note, and we discussed this a little before the show, it just and TJ just mentioned it, it's been out for a couple days. How many games do you love in the first day or two that don't hold up over the long haul, that you start and stumble over major issues later on? So to give Super Mega Baseball a place in the best of the year list, you have to have a lot of faith in it. And that's basically what it comes down to.
Well, all right. We are going to take a step back now. I mentioned earlier that we are not only voting and unveiling our Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year on this show, but we are also, for the first time, having our Rookie of the Year. And the Rookie of the Year game was basically, you know, by virtue of, okay, it's a new console generation. And so certain games have made their debut. MLB 14, the show on the PS4, could technically qualify for Rookie of the Year, but because it is a AAA game has been around for many years on other consoles, it didn't feel fair to include that along with the Maddens and the NBAs and so on. So the three games that were eligible for voting in the Rookie of the Year voting were Super Mega Baseball, The Golf Club, and UFC. So the winner of the Press Row Podcast 2014 Rookie of the Year, by a vote of 4-3, is Super Mega Baseball. The Golf Club came in second with 3 votes, but Super Mega Baseball got 4 votes. So congratulations to Scott Drader, Metalhead Software, and everybody related to Super Mega Baseball for winning the Rookie of the Year vote. Now, Brian Weedye, TJ Lowerman, Owen Good, and Sumit Sarkar all voted for Super Mega Baseball as their Rookie of the Year, while Kat Bailey, Chris Sanner, and I all voted for the Golf Club. So we're going to start with the Golf Club, and I'll go to you, Chris Sanner, first. Why was the Golf Club your Rookie of the Year?
Well, honestly, Rich, it was one of those things where I absolutely love Super Mega Baseball as well. I'm right there with everybody else here. The problem is that I don't know how good it is versus how excited I am to be playing something different right now. So, you know, that was a tough decision. The Golf Club, on the other hand, I'm still playing that game a couple months after it's been released. And what they keep doing is they keep adding new content. I mean, this game right now is already different than the game that released. And here in another week or so, it's going to be even more different than the game that was released. And by next spring, you're going to have a career mode in the game. I mean, the game's going to be basically a second version of this first, you know, it's going to be a sequel at that point, but it's going to be the same exact game. You just pay one price and you're in. So for a lot of reasons, just that the course creator is just absolutely, I mean, I've enjoyed creating courses, seeing people play them, that sort of thing. I've enjoyed playing other people's courses, playing in tournaments. It's just got a nice community feel. So there's a lot going for it. And there's a lot more to do, I feel like, as funny as that is to say, than Super Mega Baseball. And I pledged I was only going to pick one. And that's why I picked the Golf Club and just left it at that.
Yeah, I also chose the Golf Club, and it's because to me the Golf Club, it's not anti Super Mega Baseball. I'm a huge fan of it, but it's because the Golf Club was a complete surprise to me, and it was a surprise to me because it delivered a sports video game experience that I didn't know that I wanted. I thought that I would care that there were no licensed courses and no licensed players. I didn't care. I didn't even know that I wanted to be able to hop in and play golf against any of my friends who happen to either be online or asynchronously, play them on courses that they created or in tournaments that we all participated in or tours that we all participated in. I didn't think that I would like playing without the traditional three-tap meter. I didn't think that I would like having to figure out how to putt. I loved all of it, and I loved all of it so much, and I was shocked by it, and I continue to be delighted by the Golf Club. I play it all the time. It is absolutely, to me, a hands-down Rookie of the Year, but it was not the winner of the Press Row Podcast Rookie of the Year winner. That was Super Mega Baseball. TJ Lowerman, are you surprised, or did you expect Super Mega Baseball to win the Rookie of the Year award?
Rich, the moment I got my hands on Super Mega Baseball, I knew it was going to be the Rookie of the Year. This thing is a ton of fun, as I've already said. I'm more disappointed that UFC didn't get any love, apparently. Super Mega Baseball is quite deserving.
Cap Bailey, your thoughts on Super Mega Baseball beating the Golf Club on the Rookie of the Year?
In fairness, I'm sure Super Mega Baseball is very fun, and it does definitely fill a gap when it comes to arcade games. We've all been pining for a really good arcade game, but I think part of the reason that it won is that we have a number of really hardcore baseball fans in here. And maybe for those who aren't super into the sport, Super Mega Baseball doesn't have a ton of appeal. I didn't really care for it. I hate being a killjoy. I do. But it's just not my thing. It kind of reminded me of Wii Sports. Sorry. You can all jump down my throats now.
That's all right.
But you know, Golf Club, I also feel that it filled a need. Specifically, we need another golf sim, which we don't really have. And honestly, Rich, I mean, your apparent love for it really swayed me. I mean, you friggin' love that game. So I voted it for Rookie of the Year.
It's true. I do. Brian Weed, are you surprised by the 4-3 victory for Super Mega Baseball?
I'm surprised Golf Club got 3, actually. It's good for what it does, but I think it has very limited appeal because it comes down to really being a golf purist and enjoying the extreme simulation of it. And I'm not sure it translated all that well to the consoles from PC. But Super Mega Baseball, I mean, it's not just a fun game. There are some really brilliant design decisions in there relating to the difficulty level, which we've mentioned, the ego setting, and star points, which is kind of a social element to it. So it goes beyond just the gameplay being grounded and feeling like a sim, despite just there being like a joy to play it. And I don't think you need to be a huge baseball fan to like that game. I actually think you could just be a super casual, someone who follows baseball or used to follow baseball or used to play baseball games and have fun with it.
So, Mitzar Carr, you voted for Super Mega Baseball as your Rookie of the Year. Are you surprised that it was a close vote between that and the golf club, or was that sort of what you expected?
To be honest, I'm actually surprised that no one voted for EA Sports UFC. There wasn't a single vote among the seven of us for that game. And that's not necessarily because I think that game's great or anything. I was just kind of like, I'm not a huge UFC fan, and I just feel like a lot of people are these days. So that was a bit surprising. But you know, I certainly, you know, as I've said on previous episodes of this podcast, you know, I dig the golf club for sure. I think in the end, you know, perhaps what Kat said is true in the sense that I'm just, I certainly enjoy video game golf, but baseball is you know, will forever be my favorite sport. And you know, not only have we not seen a lot of arcade style sports games in recent memory, you know, what was the last great arcade baseball game? You know, I have to go back to
the Bigs.
I mean, yeah, the Bigs, yeah. Two, the Bigs Two, which has been a few years now. I mean, what was that, like 2009 or something? It's been a long while since that game. It certainly, you know, Super Mega Baseball doesn't have power ups or anything like that. But, I just it really struck a chord with me. And I think I'm also, another thing that really surprised me in a positive way about Super Mega Baseball is that I feel like I'm someone who's predisposed to being very interested or preferring, I should say, licensed sports games. You know, I think a big reason that I don't have much of an interest in Pro Evolution Soccer, for example, is because they have like a lot of sort of knockoff teams for the Premier League. And
come
whatnot.
On, you Merseyside Blues!
Right, which is weird because I don't even follow soccer, but it's just I just prefer that sort of, you know, verisimilitude, I guess. But Super Mega Baseball just won me over with its you know, charm, its endless charm, and I just really find the player and names pretty funny, honestly. So yeah.
Owen, good, your reactions to Super Mega Baseball narrowly winning the Rookie of the Year award.
Well, obviously, I endorse that wholeheartedly, you know, for reasons I'm sure people are familiar with. I've been just, you know, over the moon for this game, obviously very visible about that on Twitter and in the column that I write for Polygon. I would like to say a word of charity on behalf of the other two, though. Smith pointed out how EA Sports UFC received very solid post-release support, and that's an admirable thing. I don't think that the game itself that launched really hit expectations. And Brian, you said a couple weeks ago that it just didn't seem to be, you know, what the market or the community wanted. And I thought that was a fair criticism and resonates. But they did come back strong and say, okay, we're not just going to, you know, put our tail between our legs. We are going to support this game and continue to make it the best game we can be, which is a far different thing from what we've seen in a lot of other titles, which is, you know, somebody releases a broken game, they fix it day one, and then they roll out three or four more patches. So I do think UFC deserves praise there. I am kind of surprised it didn't even get a single vote. The golf club was not my cup of tea. I know that I've scoffed at that. I think it's just different strokes for different folks. I'm not going to say it's a bad game. It's just not a game for me, much in the same way Super Mega Baseball is not a game for Kat. And Super Mega Baseball is just... I don't think any sports video game this year has approached its subject with this much imagination. And that's really what I want to see in any video game, to be honest. And we had our vote over at Polygon for the overall game of the year, and we have a ballot that's very deep. And I was looking at the things that really tried to step outside of their bounds and do different things. And you're talking about, you know, the Nemesis system in Shadow of Mordor, or what Sunset Overdrive did. And those are games that I want to honor. And when I see a game like Super Mega Baseball come to its subject with so much joy and creativity, I mean, you know, we haven't really even mentioned just some of it's silly, and of course it's humorous, but it actually has a really good player development and progression system with the way you apply power-ups and hire trainers and give your best players gear. And in some cases, it almost sort of unfolds like XCOM, where you develop favorite players and give the best stuff, you know, to them. I mean, it's definitely a better player progression system than what we're all fooling around with in Madden. So I give a wholehearted, unreserved Rookie of the Year vote to Super Mega Baseball. We'll get to the rest of it later, but this game stole my heart, and I have no problem saying that.
Let's talk about FanDuel. There's a lot of people walking around with their heads hung low because their fantasy football seasons are over. They either lost in the playoffs or the championship, or even worse, they didn't make it that far. But there's two full weekends of NFL football left, and your fantasy football league is over. Well, that stinks. FanDuel fixes that problem, and they do it right this minute. You can play fantasy football this weekend for real cash. It's easy, fast, and simple. Even better, FanDuel will put a little extra money in your wallet if you do so with a special code from right here at the Press Row Podcast. That code is PRESS. Simply put, you can win with FanDuel.com. Chris Prince from Detroit, he's an avid fantasy football player. He's won over $656,000, for crying out loud, playing fantasy sports at FanDuel.com. Join him and the hundreds of other users who've already won money. FanDuel.com is the leader in one-week fantasy football leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. The money is real. Entry fees start at just a dollar. There's no season-long commitment. There are no upfront fees. You pay each week or whenever you want. It's all up to you. And you set a new lineup each week, and you win every week if you're good enough. FanDuel is paying out more than $10 million every single week this NFL season. I have no idea how they do that. It's insane. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use the show code PRESS. That's PRESS from the Press Row Podcast. Sign up now. There's a new user special. FanDuel will match you dollar for dollar on your first deposit up to $200. That's up to $200 for free. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code PRESS. So don't forget to use that. The code is PRESS. FanDuel.com, where every weekend is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Well, all right. It is time for a pop quiz, and nobody was prepared for that. So I take full responsibility for springing this on our guest. Owen Good, 2012. Think back all those many 2 years ago, December 2012, episode 8 of the Press Row Podcast. There are a few people on this show tonight that were part of that episode, myself, Owen Good, you were part of it. Sumit Sarkar, you were on that episode. And Chris Sanner, you were on that episode. Do you remember what game won the 2012 Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year? Owen, do you remember?
I remember it was a very close discussion. And I remember, yes. I remember also that we had some misgivings about the overall gameplay in Madden NFL 13. But we really enjoyed, really liked. I mean, that was the first year for Connected Franchise, which has become, you know, the hallmark of that series and what it does well above other titles. But it wasn't, it was not our sports game of the year. And I think it was NBA 2K13.
Sumit Sarkar, do you remember what the sports game of the year was in 2012?
You know, my best guess would also be NBA 2K13, but that's just because that was the first one that I reviewed, the first NBA 2K game that I reviewed, and I really got into that one, and I feel like, you know, that was at the time was like, oh man, you know, 2K10, 2K11, 2K12 have been awesome, and then this year they really, really had a slam dunk.
Oh, painful. Chris Sanner, are Owen and Sumit correct, or did they misremember, in the words of Roger Clemens?
You know what, Rich? I guarantee you that the sports game of the year in 2012 was one of a combination of a game from 2K Sports or EA. Just, I can tell you that without a shadow of a doubt. That game right there was the game of the year in 2012 for sports. But, you know, I honestly do not remember that. That was like, I was literally I think that might have been my first episode. Was that my first episode on the show? It might have been. It was my first or second. So
it was. Yeah, that was because Steve Noah decided that he had enough of me, and he's like, just get that Chris Sander character on there. I think it was your second or third episode.
Yeah, I honestly do not remember at that point. I couldn't even tell you. For some reason, I remember there was a lot of discussion about Madden that year, and like Owen, I think it was either NBA or I think it might have. I mean, NBA seems like it's right, but something in me says it was either Madden or the show for some reason. So I just named everything except NHL. So it's one of those. I guarantee it. It is one of those, Rich.
Well, the Press Row podcast panelists in 2012 for that episode, which is episode 8, were myself, and I guess I shouldn't start with myself. It was Owen Good, Sumit Sarkar, Chris Sander, Mike Susick, our good friend who was just on our last episode, and me. And the winner of the 2012 Press Row podcast sports game of the year was Owen. You and Sumit both remember correctly, NBA 2K13, but it only won by one vote and tied for second were FIFA 13 and NHL 13. Talk about a close vote, but NHL 13, we haven't even mentioned the NHL franchise until right this moment. That, to me, is probably one of the most striking facts. Cat Bailey, I'm sure that probably brings a bit of a melancholy tug to your heartstrings.
Yeah, I really liked NHL 13 as well. Because that was the year that they introduced the momentum was really good. And that was also the first year that they introduced Connected Franchise. And while, or not Connected Franchise, you know what I mean.
GM Connected.
Yeah, it's been, it's gone now and it makes me so sad. Anyway, it's just, it really breaks my heart. I really had high expectations for NHL 15, but this is well-trodden territory, but I really hope they get back on their feet next year. But NHL 13 was, it felt good. It felt right in a way that NHL 14 definitely didn't. It hit that sweet spot. And while I don't think it was the sports game of the year for that year, I definitely think that it was really good, and I had high hopes for the franchise at that time. I held it in very high regard at that time.
May I jump in here and ask? I mean, since we're talking about NHL, the huge and deserved knock on it this year was that it cut out so many modes and so much content that people had come to expect, you know, from the series on the previous console generation. If they add that stuff back in NHL 16, I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to praise it, or are we going to kill it for doing what everybody hates, which is cut stuff out and then sell it back to you the next year? I mean, this is really kind of a no-win situation for that series.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a great question, and we could probably spend a half an hour on that. I know personally I will praise it because I love NHL video games, and I love being able to play in online leagues or GM Connected, and that's probably not going to make it back. So, you know, what I'm actually hoping is that they bring some of the stuff back and they introduce new things that are actually more compelling than what we've seen in the past. I don't know that will happen or not, but it's definitely going to be an interesting year for the next generation of NHL. But I do want to move ahead, fast forward 12 months back to the halcyon days of December 2013. Now, by December 2013, our good friend Brian Wiedei had also joined Chris Sander, Sumit Sarkar, Owen Good, and myself, and Mike Susick on the 2013 Press Row podcast, Sports Game of the Year. Brian Wiedei, pop quiz, do you remember what the three games were that were the finalists and what the order was from 3-2 down to number one for Sports Game of the Year last year?
Number one was FIFA, FIFA 14. Number two was NCAA football. And number three, I'm not as sure on. I know those were the top two. Number three was either Madden or NBA 2K.
You know, it's amazing. NBA 2K13 won in 2012, and it didn't even make the top three in 2013. Brian, you are absolutely right. Madden NFL 25 on the PS4 came in number three. NCAA Football 14 on the 360 PS3 came in second. And FIFA 14 on the PS4 won the Sports Game of the Year last year.
TJ Lowerman, does any of that surprise you as you were a listener of the show at that time and now are a panelist?
No, we all loved all those games then. And I remember Madden really taking us by surprise when it came out on the next generation consoles. And I guess at the time we didn't know NCAA was going away, right? And
no, now, we did
now
not.
Now we all really wish that game was back, don't we? Because that obviously would have won Game of the Year this year if there was NCAA 15 on next gen, right?
No, we would have known at that point that it wasn't coming back.
Oh, you know,
man, I think you're right. I really do miss NCAA football. I didn't think I would miss it, but now that the Gophers are actually respectable, yeah, I kind of want to play it.
Well, I mean, let's face it, right? Like, I personally, and I've been a college football fan forever, and I know, like, Owen Good and Chris Sander, you guys are both huge college football fans. I think this past year, the regular season of college football, was probably the most compelling for more people than any season in recent memory, and I think this upcoming four-team playoff is going to be spectacular. Chris Sander, what would you give to get a next-generation NCAA football with the four-team playoff in it and all the licensed, you know, the licensed bowls and everything?
Just about $59.99, give or take.
You're not going to spend anything on Ultimate Team? Come on.
No, not on Ultimate Team. I mean, we know Online Dynasty's never coming back if it comes back. So about $59.99 is about the limit I would spend on it. Maybe given, you know, a deluxe Ultimate Edition with something, maybe $65. So
Ultimate Team packs.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I may decide to play Ultimate Team in NCAA football. I mean, I always wanted to see Vince Young playing as an OU player. So, yeah, you know, so I don't get it. Anyways.
Owen, good. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you know, yes, we did have a lot of nostalgia for NCAA football. And I think it was, you know, I think 14, the finale was a good game. But let's also not forget, you know, we have, you know, college football is still a corrupt bargain. And last year, the leagues, you know, schools were you know, bailing on this out of PR moves, not really understanding their contracts, but getting the hell out of it as soon as they could. Ohio State was going to leave this game. And I think we would be having a very, very different discussion, you know, about our nostalgia and love for NCAA football if we actually had to be faced with ringer teams in that. And God knows what that would mean for you know, created teams and how that would have to be moderated and police. This was looking like, you know, this was looking like it was going to be, even if it came out, it was looking like it was going to be a gimped series. And I was not really looking forward to this year if it did.
You know, Smith Sarkar, one of the things that struck me in sort of going back and listening to the votes and the awards for these the last couple of years, you know, when you just look at it on paper, like, wait, how does NBA 2K go from winning in 2012 to not even placing in the top three in 2013? It really is kind of a great guidepost for, you know, NBA 2K on the next-gen consoles was supposed to be the thing, and yet it launched and continued to struggle. Unlike this year when it launched and had struggles online that got fixed after a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, NBA 2K in 2013, I guess it was NBA 2K14, really struggled for many, many, many months. And it's kind of a stark reminder as to what was happening to NBA, even at the time that we were having these discussions. What do you remember about your thought process for, you know, ranking your sports games last year?
Yeah, 2013 was really tough for me because in spite of all of the server issues, and there were many of them, I had played no NBA game. I'm not just talking NBA 2K, like no basketball video game more than NBA 2K14. I'd never gotten into one quite as much as 2K14. I had my created Sumit Sarkar on the Milwaukee Bucks of all teams. You know, I think I played into like February or something in my career. And, you know, I just really got engrossed in the mode, even with, you know, the unskippable, repetitive cutscenes and all that stuff. I just, you know, really, really loved the way that game played. And I, you know, I think for that reason, I was genuinely upset every time I couldn't access my career mode because their servers were down, you know? So I remember really having to think. I think it was probably still in my top three at the very least last year, just because, you know, as I said, I had enjoyed my time with it so much.
Well, all right, we are almost ready to unveil the winner of the 2014 Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year. But first, I want to let some of our great listeners weigh in on their thoughts. And so here's a few. And there are several tweets, but, you know, basically they came from either Press Row's Twitter account or Submit's account. And Owen, I think you might have as well. But basically, here's just a bunch of our listeners with some reactions to their thoughts on what the Sports Game of the Year is. Matthew Boozy says, FIFA 15 made my top 10 for finally meaningfully changing the on-field gameplay, but too many modes the same. Millennium OS, Chris, says, I still think it has to be the show, such a great simulation of the true sport. Mike Phillips from the Great Player One podcast says, Mario Kart 8, naturally. Tip of the hat to the Video Game Awards, of course. Chris Lund says, whatever is the opposite of NHL 15. Well played, sir. Kevin Mettler says, NCAA 14 is still the best game I played this year. Sorry, that doesn't count. Ryan Spencer says, NBA 2K15, bumpy start, but plays so beautifully now. Let's see here. What else do we have? Paper Nut, a good friend of the show, says, the golf club is my first choice. Super Mega Baseball a close second. Ken Ney says, I bought a ton of games this fall, and I play NBA 2K more than all of them combined. My GM has me hooked. Me too. The Nelsconi says, the show, period. Greg Timmerman says, NBA 2K, but the golf club should get some love. Midnight Eric 02 also says, NBA 2K15. Alex Kaufman says, could Super Mega Baseball as a late entry? If not, then I'm not sure any game is fully deserving. FIFA, maybe. Not exactly a ringing endorsement. Brian Lumsden says, I'll say NHL 15. Just kidding. LOL. My guess is FIFA 15. Luke Williamson says, to me, it's either NBA 2K15 or Super Mega Baseball. JO30 says, Destiny? I don't know. Just kidding. But I love Madden, so yeah. Dennis Butler says NBA 2K15 hands down. Larry Vary says it's got to be FIFA 15. The career mode and ultimate team were so good this year. Seamless. Captain Video says NBA 2K15, of course. And Night Attack 09 just says, I hope you've added Sports Gamer of the Year. No, we have not, Adam. Sorry about that. Well, all right. It is time. Let us find out what the winners. Now, the way that this is tallied, for those of you who don't know, it's very simple. Every one of the panelists has an equal vote, and every panelist submits their top three games. So number one, number two, and number three. The number one game gets 3 points. The number two game gets 2 points. And the number three game gets 1 point. Everybody has submitted them to me directly. Nobody on the panel knows what the winner is. They don't even know the order or anything like that. So what we're going to do is this. First, we're going to unveil number three, number two, and number one, the winners. And then we're going to go around the table and everybody is going to say what their personal top three was. All right? So are we ready? I think we're ready. All right. Number three of the Press Row Podcast 2014 Sports Game of the Year is Super Mega Baseball. Comes amazing. In at number three. Astounding. I am blown away. TJ Lowerman, how does that happen?
You put out a great game that everybody loves. That's a lot of fun. And you can move mountains, Rich.
Brian Widai, your reaction to Super Mega Baseball placing on the podium.
I think after years of not having anything like it, I mean, it's just such a breath of fresh air in how it approaches and how it and the design decisions and just the flat out fun factor that it offers, that it comes late in the year helps too. This is a dead point of the year. Basically, everything has already been out for a while, but it fills a void that we've been, you know, struggling with now for a while, and that apparently the major publishers have no interest in doing themselves. So it's great to have an independent developer come in, actually kind of have a sense of what people were missing and wanted, and then nail those elements in the game.
Now, I thoroughly enjoy Super Mega Baseball. I'm a big fan of it. But Chris Sanner, is this a situation where the game just came out and a whole bunch of us just love it and it's getting an unfair advantage by coming out a week before we have this vote?
I'm going to be the mean guy who does love this game and say yes. I think give it another 2 or 3 months. I think this would not be in the top three this year. However, I will say what Brian just said about these guys finding the absolute niche, realizing there was an opening for and a craving for this type of a game. I mean, Scott Drader, everybody at Metalhead, they deserve all the credit in the world for this, because this is a really good game. It is a few modes away from being truly great, in my opinion. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with this at all, because I hope it sends a message to independent developers as well as the big box developers that there is a craving for this type of game and out there, and hopefully we see some more attempts at it.
Owen, good, your thoughts?
I think it's fair criticism that we're swooning for this, and it's sort of like, you know, the last thing that, you know, the last guy in the argument is the one that you vote for or trust or believe, and there is some bounce to that. But when Sumit and I were talking this over, and it was Polygon's Sports Video Game of the Year, I mean, we noted that, and this was not a banner year for sports video games. I mean, the ones that did their jobs well still had caveats and qualifications, and, you know, or frankly outright, you know, broken features at launch that had to be fixed later. And, you know, it seems like everything, especially, you know, in the iterative nature of licensed sports titles, it seems like everything had some kind of a yeah, but to it. And Super Mega Baseball was one thing out of the box that it may be, again, you know, wow, this is so fresh, this is so new, and it's imaginative, and I'm falling in love with it. And yeah, you know, in 2 months, you sort of go, oh, why was I over the moon? That could happen. I hope it doesn't. But I think it is a product of seeing the same stuff year after year after year, and having what was, on the whole, a very tentative year in sports video gaming, probably because of the transition. Everybody was fully on the new console generation, and consoles dominate, you know, the sports category. But it just – I think Super Mega Baseball came in high on its merits, because everything else seemed stale. In when they did things well, it was like, this is a very familiar experience.
Sumit Sarkar, your reaction to Super Mega Baseball placing in the top three, the first time any game like it at all has been in the top three of the Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year?
Well, for one thing, the reason for that is, you know, again, we haven't really seen very many arcade-style sports games in recent memory, and certainly not very many outstanding ones, you know, for them to place that highly. And, you know, I'll echo Owen here. You know, he and I posted our Sports Game of the Year feature on Polygon earlier today. And the way it came together was you know, we had decided a couple of weeks ago that we were going to do this. And, you know, he and I were like, well, you know, what do we think is the best sports game of the year? And you know, we had some thoughts here and there. You can read the whole article to see them. I won't go into detail here. But the overwhelming sense was, you know, I don't know that we won't, I would say that the games this year were stale per se. But what I felt, seeing the sports slate for 2014, was that nothing really stood out. There were a lot of mediocre games like NHL and WWE. You know, there were a lot of good games. You know, certainly games that got better like UFC. And then, you know, there were some great games, reliably great games like FIFA and NBA 2K. But there wasn't really anything that another cliche, it blew us away. There wasn't anything that we could point to and say that, you know, that was by far, you know, the winner of Sports Game of the Year 2014. And certainly the timing is a concern in the sense that, sure, you may discover flaws. I know Owen was saying about Madden that, something that he discovered as he played more and more of the Connected Franchise mode was that the stuff with the confidence in there, really turned out to not work all that well after a lot more play. But I think for what you get with Super Mega Baseball for your $14.99, and obviously, again, how different it is from what we've seen for the past few years in sports games, they just really accomplished everything that they set out to do.
Another, by the way, on the topic of Super Mega Baseball, strong recommendation, at least a strong personal recommendation, take the 5 minutes before you start playing a season and name everybody on your team after somebody that you know. The in-game experience will be so much better when you do that. At least that's my personal thought. The other thing about Super Mega Baseball finishing number three is that it was not close, relatively speaking, to what came in fourth, or technically tied for fifth. And we'll get into that after we get through the rest of the winter. So Super Mega Baseball finished third with a bullet. It was not, it did not just eke out who finished behind it. All right, number two, the runner-up, or the silver medalist, if you will, of the 2014 Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year is NBA 2K15. I was shocked. I thought that NBA 2K15 was going to win. I really did. It is, I think, NBA 2K15 this year did so much more right than it did last year and introduced so much more new and interesting aspects to the game. And improved what happens on the court so much. I really, had you asked me to predict, I would have predicted that NBA 2K15 would have won. Coming in second is no bad effort. It's not like it's a negative. I was surprised after I tallied up the votes and I went through them four times just to make sure that NBA 2K15 finished second. Brian Weedy, are you surprised by that, or is that sort of what you were thinking?
Yeah, no, I expected it to win. I think the main reason why it didn't is because of the face scanning in Owen's video that went viral. That's the only explanation I can come up with.
Capitale, you sir.
Thanks a lot, Owen.
Yeah. Okay.
Cap Baylor, are you surprised that NBA 2K did not win, or surprised it came in second, or where were you thinking that NBA 2K was going to wind up on the Sports Game of the Year list?
Well, I voted for it for number three, so I guess number two sounds about right. I think that the thing with NBA 2K is that while it is undoubtedly an amazing game in many ways, it has phenomenal modes, it is creative, it is inventive, it does a great job with this presentation. It's bar none the best presentation. It's fun to play. I feel like the online issues have just consistently left a really bad taste in people's mouths. And this idea of tying player upgrades to the server connections is just flat out strange to me. And, frankly, I'm wondering if it's going to be another situation like last year where a lot of people are going to get NBA 2K and Xbox Ones or PS4s for Christmas, and they're going to play it. And, oh, look, the servers have been crushed on Christmas morning because it's Christmas morning. I find the decision to tie everything to online connections really questionable, and it drags everything down for me. Not enough where I'm like going, no, this is a legitimately bad game, but I think it is a serious flaw and will continue to be a serious flaw. But I don't think 2K is going to change course at any time. So those are my thoughts on NBA 2K. And that's having given it a really good review for US Gamer and said, yeah, like this is the first time that I've really gotten into NBA 2K. And I don't even like basketball. And it was enough to really draw me in. So if they could just resolve those online issues or maybe rethink it, which they're not, I think that we would be more charitable toward it. And I think we all kind of miss the Jordan challenges. Bring them back, NBA 2K. Okay, that's my piece.
Chrisann, are you surprised that NBA 2K did not win, or did you sort of think this is where they would wind up?
I actually didn't know where people would end up putting it, just with everything that happened at launch and, you know, all the negative blowback, the always online requirements for many of the modes. I mean, there's a lot that, you know, I had no idea if everyone felt the same way as me or if they didn't. But I'm not surprised it didn't win. And I am also I'm somewhat surprised that I guess the sentiment seems to be so positive universally toward the game after what was, I mean, in essence, a disastrous start. So I guess I honestly didn't think it was going to win. I had a different game in mind for that, but I guess we'll find that out here in just 1 second.
Owen, good. Your thoughts? Were you expecting NBA to win, or did you think second place is where it was going to be? Like, where did you think NBA would sort of fit in the collective opinion?
Well, I thought NBA, you know, 2K15 would make it to the podium, and I didn't think it would win. And I think, you know, I think we're sending a message, and it's one that 2K really needs to listen to, because they have made excuses and promises regarding, you know, what is a very heavily, you know, online component video game. They have made excuses for this thing now going back, I don't know how many years, 4, 5 years, and they sure know how to market it. But you know, last year its launch was a real problem, and we don't need to revisit that right now. And this year, you know, it was a launch that went on 3 weeks, and baby needs its milk. I mean, you know, denying NBA 2K15 a game of the year, if that tells them that this isn't going to fly and they have to fix this and be sincere about supporting all of the modes that they offer or modify, you know, the choices that they make in the online requirements that they put on some of these modes. You know, if that's what it takes, then so be it. So, you know, it is, as I said in the review that I gave for Polygon, you know, absent the online problems, this is the sports video game of the year. Yes, I mean, the role-playing elements within my GM and my career, they do not have any analog in any other title, and they do very bold things with that. And, you know, some of the voice acting's kind of, but, you know, you really do enjoy your interaction with the other players in the league on a level more than you do, you know, in Madden, in MLB. But we can't go through this again with 2K, you know, rolling out press releases. Hey, everything's great. Hey, here's our cover star. Hey, here's some celebrity doing this or that or some of the other nonsense. And then, oh, by the way, it's launch week. Aren't you happy? Half the game is broken. We cannot do that again.
Well, it is time then to officially unveil the winner of the 2014 Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year. It is MLB 14 The Show by a landslide.
Woo! Speaking. Go baseball.
MLB 14 The Show. And again, this speaks, I think, to the impact of the game. It came out in March, which we know is always, you know, whether we try to either overcompensate or undercompensate, coming out in March is difficult to compensate over the games that come out in late August and September and October. But MLB 14, The Show, is a winner, and like I said, by a landslide. So now let's take a look, before we react to that, at the scoring. MLB 14, The Show, had 14 points. We're all going to go over our particular top three in just a moment. MLB The Show had 14 points. NBA 2K15 had 9 points. And Super Mega Baseball had 8 points. So
those are the top three. Tied for fifth were both Madden and FIFA with 5 points, and coming in sixth was Pro Evo with 1 point. So MLB 14, the show, is the winner of the Press Row Podcast 2014 Sports Game of the Year. It never even placed in the top three in the last 2 years, and it wins in 2014. Your thoughts, Owen Good?
I'm pleased with that. I think, again, you know, like I said, well, MLB the Show was my number two vote getter. My number one was Super Mega Baseball. My number three was Pro Evolution Soccer. I was really wavering on whether to put Pro Evolution at two or MLB at three. And I think MLB, I think the reason that it's showing up here is because not only, I mean, low bar, but feature complete to previous editions on the next generation console. But it also introduced, as we've, you know, mentioned before, two new modes of play that uniquely address the biggest challenge in its career mode, which is, you know, the long season. And so if you can, you know, credibly play portions of a game over, you know, 162 game season instead of just batch simulating through, you know, you can do a lot of work and feel like you're actually moving toward a career. And obviously we didn't see the manifestation of that this year, but the ability to transfer saved games will serve this franchise well, you know, coming with MLB 15, the show. It's a very worthy selection. I think it was a game that innovated in ways other franchises did not this year. You know, I said obviously that Super Mega Baseball is my sports video game of the year, but of those that are the iterative titles, I feel like MLB the Show did the most work, and I think it's a worthy choice.
All right, so Owen, you did your top three. I'm going to do mine. My top three, number three was Madden 15. I loved it. I play it all the time. I just played it today, as a matter of fact. Like I've said before, I'm not saying it's the greatest game of all time. The reason that I love it so much is because we have a fantastic online franchise, and the reason that I put Madden number three was because of online franchise. It absolutely deserves a significant amount of credit for supporting a fantastic way to play a game that very few other franchises do and less and less consider at all. I also do think it's a good game. I mean, I'm not putting it there just because of online franchise. I have fun playing it. I enjoy playing it. As Chris said at the top of the show, it could be better, but every one of these games could be better. So Madden 15 was number three. Number two for me was MLB The Show. For much of this year, The Show was my obsession. We have played in multiple online franchises, which for the most part didn't work. But even just participating in a league that I know three or four of my other friends are off playing against the CPU made every game so much better. But who cares if the game isn't great? The core gameplay in MLB The Show on the PS4 is spectacular. It is so good. I just gush over how beautiful it looks, how realistically it plays. I mean, I go in slumps hitting at times, and then I get on hot streaks, and sometimes my pitcher is just going to pitch well, and sometimes he's not. I mean, the crowds are beautiful. The stadiums are great. There's a lot of different ways to play it. I am a huge fan of MLB The Show. It was number two for me. But number one was NBA 2K15. I've been unabashed freak for NBA 2K15. I am currently actively every day possible playing both my player and my GM. I'm 35 games into my first season of my GM. I'm well into my second season of my player, and I sim nothing. I play every single game. And I play every single game because it is wonderful. I love the vibe of NBA 2K. I love the app, the stinking app that I go to every single day that they made better this year because it gives me free VC because it's tied into my PSN account. So I get free VC, and I pick the winners, and I then apply that VC to my guy. My guy is good. I still, as ridiculous as it may sound, I still have barely scratched the surface of so much of NBA 2K, and yet I play it every day. So I'm NBA 2K was my easy number one choice. The hard thing for me was not having FIFA or Pro Evolution make my top three. As a lot of people who follow me on Twitter know, that I have played a full season of professional FIFA and tried to get Everton to not be relegated. And on professional and FIFA, for me, that's a big challenge, and I was able to overcome it. I love FIFA. I love Pro Evo. But just there just wasn't quite enough of an experience that kept me coming back to it. Because once I finished my season with FIFA, I haven't picked it up again. I keep telling myself I'm going to restart my season and do something else, and I just haven't, because of my online franchise with Madden, because I'm still playing the show. TJ and I are going to play Game 7 in the World Series sometime next week. And because I just play NBA 2K every time I possibly can. So that's my personal top three. Let's go around and everybody else. Brian Wiedei, what is your reaction to MLB 14, the show winning? And what are your top three?
It's a little puzzling to me, Rich. The show, for me, would have finished in fourth or fifth. I haven't made the determination yet because I didn't have to. I was having a debate with myself about whether Madden or the show would slot in at three. They're both good games, just not great games, in my opinion. And what's surprised me about this is that MLB 14, the show, gets all this recognition this year. But I voted MLB 13, the show, number one last year, and nobody was on my side. So I'm not sure what changed between 13 and 14. I don't think it made that big of a leap. There were a few new features that were received well by some and not so well by others. I thought it might place. I did not expect it to win this year because it's just not a complete product. I put more weight on complete products. Not with the show, you don't necessarily get that because online is so troubled and there are deficiencies in Road to the Show because it's starting to get stale, and the year-to-year saves feature may actually mean that it's not going to be revamped in the future years. I hope that's not the case. But there are just issues with the show in different areas. It excels so well in some areas but continues to have trouble in others. And so I consider it more as a complete product when I weigh my rankings at the end of the year. But it's a good game. I mean, I can't fault anybody for putting it near the top or at the top. My rankings then came in with Super Mega Baseball at number three, which, like I said, it bumped the others out that I was considering to put there. Just a fun game, something brand new. I mean, we've talked about it plenty. Number two was FIFA, and to me it's because FIFA represents the moment, the emotion of the moment, better than any sports game does, with its presentation, with its crowd, with its commentary, because everything in soccer leads up to those moments or those excruciating moments where you fail, and nothing. There is no game that captures the emotion like FIFA does and makes me feel so excited when I score or so dejected when someone scores on me. And it wasn't, again, you know, I had a lot of fun with FIFA for a few months. It started to wear on me a little bit lately, and that's why it slipped to number two. And then number one was NBA 2K15, which I talked about at length earlier in the debate portion of the show. I just felt that they turned things around and they showed a dedication to the product that was genuine this year, and that they approached things the right way. So I wanted to give that recognition to NBA 2K and really to the three games in my top three, which I wouldn't say they stood out from the crowd, but they gave the complete, again, product to consumers that I think justified their price tags.
Well, yeah, I mean, you nailed it, Brian. I mean, this was a year when, as we've said before, no game was every game had its flaws. You know, MLB The Show as the winner has its online issues, but you know, we can point to those in any direction. All right, Kat Bailey, your reaction to the show winning, as well as your top three list.
It's an acceptable answer and a flawed year. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the diametric opposite of NHL, right? Where they worked around the clock to make sure that it was feature complete and looked really good on the PlayStation 4. And, you know, mission accomplished. Good job. And the NHL team must be like kicking themselves because they took the exact opposite approach of, all right, well, we'll like really upgrade. We'll do our best to upgrade the physics and the graphics and make this pretty awesome next gen experience, but it will come at the cost of the features. And they're probably just kicking themselves right now for that. So it just goes to show one more time how important being feature complete is. But my top three were NBA 2K15, because it is frankly still a really amazing sports game in many ways. I the narrative that it does with its be a player mode is unrivaled. I had so much fun being Catfish Bailey and like telling off Andre Drummond and being like, no, Andre Drummond, I'm going to the New York Knicks and you can't stop me. That is a sports experience I have not had. And I don't feel like other sports games have nailed the culture of being a player in quite the same way. It so perfectly captures what it must be like to be an NBA player. And, you know, that's what it is, right? It's wish fulfillment. That's kind of why I'm playing these games. Whether it's a wish fulfillment of being a GM or a wish fulfillment of being a player, I feel like NBA captures that really, really, really well. And modes are super important to me. MLB The Show was my number two because I would have put NBA 2K as perhaps my number two or even my number one, but the online issues really dragged it down for me. I really like MLB The Show still. Despite my kind of ragging on baseball, I am a fan of the sport. And it has been year in, year out, a very impressive simulation. I think that the physics and just the feel of contact in the ball and the fielding and the animation is so good. And while people might disagree with me, I think the pitch counts are phenomenal. You could say that it throws out the flow of the game, but it's the pitch counts that help me actually get through games. Whereas before, like, I would actually get bored, or I wouldn't even be able to finish a single game from MLB because they're so long. God, I think the one thing that holds back Madden, aside from, you know, the flawed modes and all that, is the games take an hour to complete. And that's fine when I'm playing an online league with my friend, but just playing against the computer, it drags. Number one, I guess you shouldn't be surprised, is FIFA 15, which, as I already said, is, in my opinion, still the best all-around sports game. I think that it's made measurable improvements to the gameplay. I think that its career mode is still, its GM mode is still by far the best. I've already talked at some length about my like 6-year career playing FIFA 15, which is one of the most rewarding sports games experiences I've ever had. And yeah, okay, maybe it's not that different from previous years, but the excellence is still unrivaled. And I'm concerned by the, okay, well, what have you done for us lately attitude that we take toward games sometimes without realizing just the sustained excellence that is FIFA, of how fun it is to play, how perfectly it balances the simulation aspect with the arcade aspect, with the fact that I can sit down and be done in 15 minutes and have a blast and just want to keep playing. It's a compulsive play. And it is the best couch. It's still the best couch sports game. I could sit down and play FIFA all day long. And that is why that's still the most popular sports game by far. So in my opinion, yeah, FIFA 15 is the champ until some other sports game says otherwise, and I have not seen that yet.
Sumit Sarkar, your reaction to MLB The Show winning, as well as your top three.
Well, you know, I am surprised that FIFA wasn't in there somewhere, but MLB was certainly in my top three, and I am a huge baseball fan, as everyone knows here. And so I feel like, for me, the reasons that I think it won and the reasons it was on my list are, you know, one, you know, what I mentioned before, the features they introduced this year, the you know, quick counts and player lock and year-to-year saves. But also, you know, not only did it not stumble in its transition to the new console generation, Like, it was really, really good on PS4. It looks amazing, obviously. I mean, it certainly did on PS3 as well. But, you know, outside of some minor frame rate issues in like, you know, just some cutscene stuff, it ran really, really well. Obviously, the load times are an issue that, you know, Brian pointed out before, and that's telling. It's telling that that's one of the first things that they mentioned as something that they're improving for MLB 15. But yeah, I think it totally makes sense. You know that it's up there in the overall top three. So my personal top three, number three, I actually had a game that I'm not sure anyone's talked about so far. Well, maybe they have, but Madden. I had Madden in my personal top three at number three. Madden for me this year is certainly there are some legacy issues, like the commentary is just like not good. It's like turn off worthy commentary. I think it's really significant that they delivered the best playing Madden ever. They finally, you know, they finished what they started with the run blocking improvements that were evident in the PS4 and Xbox One versions of 25 last fall. And, you know, that stuff is I think, an underrated achievement, as blocking often is in the real life sport of football, because it really makes its presence felt in on every play, you know, in all aspects of the game. And it's something that, you know, they had really struggled. Every developer of a football video game had struggled to accurately simulate for forever. So that alone, in terms of the gameplay, you know, was really impressive. And you know, there's a lot of other awesome stuff throughout Madden this year as well. And certainly the, you know, having a connected franchise online is a big feather in its cap that really no one else is doing anymore. Number two, I had MLB 14 The Show, you know, sort of for the reasons that I've outlined so far. You know, it was really, you know, they took an already great game and brought it over intact, and you know, made it even better in a few ways. And you know, that transition is not to be discounted, and of course, just to MLB 14 in general, you know, they added all these all these new ways to play, and you know, that all was really exciting to me as someone who's a big baseball fan. And number one, I did have Super Mega Baseball as my number one. Like Owen, you know, again, we chose it for Sports Game of the Year at Polygon. And what I'll say about Super Mega Baseball here is something that I didn't mention earlier, and I'm not sure if anyone else has tonight. You know, certainly the fun factor is paramount in that game. You know, it's really impressive aesthetically. It's very inviting. I really love that it's inclusive. You know, you have male and female players, and they can do that because it's an unlicensed game. You know, that's really awesome. It's really funny. But underneath all that, it's a really solid game of baseball. You know, TJ pointed out his example with the physics of the ball bouncing off the underside of the padding on the wall. You know, not only is it a competent, if simplified, game of baseball, again, you know, you can steal bases, but you can't do pickoffs, for example. Just mechanically, there are things in that game that I'm amazed, you know, no other developer of a baseball game has figured out yet or has implemented. I mean, for all the different ways you can throw a pitch in the show, you know, whether it's analog pitching or pulse pitching or the meter or button or whatever. I mean, I really, really like the pitching mechanics in Super Mega Baseball. You know, whether using the sort of standard or the hardcore mode, it's a really fantastic way to play. And what's neat is that, you know, obviously they vary it up. If you're playing head-to-head, you know, locally. And that, that stuff's great, and so is the ecosystem. You know, it's really cool that you can set it to 15, you know, if you're playing with your kid or something, or you can ramp it up all the way and you know, see how you fare against the AI. So I think that just, you know, like not only are we really all impressed with the novelty of the game, you know, as a type of sports game we haven't seen in a long time, I really do think that there is a very, very solid core underneath it all. And, you know, it accomplishes the goal of all arcade sports games, which is, you know, to be inviting and just playable by the widest possible range of expertise and players. So, and of course, for that all to be delivered by a super small indie team is even more astonishing. So, yeah, my number one with a bullet.
TJ Larriman, your reaction to MLB The Show winning and your top three.
Rich, I would actually like to say that I must probably give myself the award for impact podcast panelist in my first year. I came in super baseball fanboy, and look what I've single-handedly done. I've tricked all of you into voting for MLB The Show. I'm very proud that I was successfully able to pull that off. And I was perfect. I had two of the three games that the team picked in the right spot. It's pretty amazing. I'm pretty impressed with myself. Everyone else should be as well. But yes, Power Panelist of the Year probably has to go to me.
Arm. Don't hurt your arm patting yourself on the back.
I know it's hard, it's a little hard, but I'll pat myself a little bit. Number three, I had Super Mega Baseball. Tons of fun. Love it. My season, I did a short season. That's halfway done. Rich is doing kind of bad. Owen Good is an amazing starting pitcher for me. I love it. Love the fun. Even planning on playing some with my wife this weekend that I'm going to end up putting up on my YouTube channel, just because it gives you the ability to have someone who, you know, superpower panelist that's amazing at baseball video games. I can now play with my wife, and we can kind of play on an even playing field thanks to the ecosystem. Number two, I put Madden NFL 15. Number one reason, our league. The most fun, other than Super Mega Baseball, that I have in sports video games is our email strings. I love playing the game, playing Ultimate Team, doing that whole thing there, even though I kind of burnt out after a few months of that. I still love the gameplay. Everybody rags on it. It's funny because everybody loves Madden's gameplay for like the first month or 2 months, and then after it, they're like, oh, this is the same stuff that we've had problems with for years. But yeah, I still love Madden, so that definitely got my number two spot. Number one, MLB The Show. It did something for me this year I did not think was possible. I think the last two, maybe even 3 years, I've exclusively played Road to the Show because stuff like we've said, it takes way too long to play a game and it's just tedious. I'm never going to play 162 games of a season having to throw every pitch the way it used to be. And so I was kind of reserved to, all right, I'm going to get Madden. I'm going to get MLB 15, create my guy in Road to the Show. Play that out and play Road to the Show. I think I've played over 200 full games of MLB 15, which is literally mind-boggling to me because I don't think I've played 100 full games of MLB in the last 2 or 3 years combined. Quick counts changed everything. It added a much more of a pressure-packed situation almost every at-bat you're going into. Then you need to fix it a little bit with giving you some sort of option to just start 0-0 because sometimes I'm coming up with like Billy Hamilton, who I'm bunting with. The computer needs to know I'm bunting with him, or the pitcher's coming up. I'm obviously going to bunt with him if there's a man on first and less than two outs. So they need to tweak that a little bit. Another thing that I thought was huge that I don't think we touched on at all was the dynamic difficulty. I thought that was perfect. I always felt, once I got it to the point where it knew the difficulty that I should be at, which was, I think it was like somewhere between whatever the one is right before Hall Legend. I think it's Hall of Fame, with some pluses or minuses. When it got to the point where it knew that's where I needed to be, it would make those little tweaks that it needed to do to make every game exciting. There would still be a blowout here and there, but every game was fun to play. And if, especially in my franchise, it's like, well, okay, now I'm down by a couple of runs. Let me put in the long relief guy because I'm going to need the rest of my bullpen for the next game, which might be a lot better. I'm just really happy because I love the MLB series, and I'm happy that I tricked enough people into getting enough votes to give it Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year.
Chris Sander, your reaction to MLB The Show winning and your top three.
You know, that was actually the game I was expecting. I mean, apparently, I don't know. I just thought that it was a really good game this year. It was a really good effort from Sony. So obviously, MLB The Show was my number one pick. It was my top vote. And the big reason is, I mean, TJ just laid out a lot of really good reasons. The other one was just, I mean, it just seemed like they catered to the fact that they know their game takes forever, like a baseball game takes forever to play. So they just fixed a lot of that up. The franchise mode, the menus were reworked. I know, I mean, I just argued against the game because of them. They're better. They're better this year than they ever have been, and they're continuing to get better. They just, man, there are literally options buried in the franchise mode that, I mean, it is something that I was still finding stuff after playing a season and a half, which I did. I mean, that's my biggest endorsement. I played a full 162-game season with MLB The Show with quick counts, and I know I simmed some of it, simmed in and out of games, that sort of thing. But, I mean, man, what a great game. And second on my list, and I would not have told you that I was going to do this back in October when the game released, was NBA 2K 15. And the reason is after the online mess, after all of that was taken care of and we got beyond that, what was left was a really, really, really good game of basketball. And my GM mode without the visual or virtual currency completely tied into it, man, a lot, that mode right there is exact. That is what that is the future of this genre if we're going to have those kind of modes. That it is just, it's not perfect, but man, it is just incredibly good. And my third pick actually was Madden. And it was kind of it was a really big struggle to find a good third pick. I really struggled with that one because FIFA was in there, Pro Evolution was in there, and I eventually settled on Madden. I just went to the basic fact, which games did I play the most out of all these that are left? And Madden was that game. I think this year was the lowest rated year at Operation Sports in terms of our reviews. And in terms of like the big box AAA games, I think we've ever had. And I think you're hearing that amongst everybody here. It's just like there's every game had flaws. Every game, no game really stood out above the pack. The only game I really feel like probably did, but I just couldn't give it the nod this year was FIFA. And I don't know why. I felt like I had a little bit of built-in bias against FIFA. Maybe others can say the same thing. Just with it winning last year and me being so high on it last year, it was just I don't feel like there was anything it could do to live up to that this year, especially with the show launching and Madden coming on with a strong effort. And NBA 2K, despite the fact it had a rocky launch, I mean, everything else about that game is just so solid. So it's just there's a lot of really good games in our genre right now, especially now that things have gotten tidied up. But there are potentially a lot of really great games in our genre going forward.
Well, all right. I'm excited because for the first time in the history of the Press Row podcast, we get to present the winners of the awards virtually, of course. But I'm delighted to welcome in game designer Ramon Russell and senior producer Jason Villa from MLB 14, the show. Ramon, Jason, congratulations on winning the 2014 Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year.
We are greatly appreciated. We're very excited.
And surprised.
Yeah, surprised.
Very surprised.
You know, you say surprised. I wonder, why are you surprised? I mean, I know that when you make a game, you know, all you sort of see, or not all, but, you know, a lot of what you see are the problems with the game. But
I have to imagine you have a lot of people telling you on a regular basis how much they're enjoying the game as well. So why do you say that you're surprised? I'm curious about that.
That's probably true, but it's only the stuff that's wrong that really sits with you. The compliments kind of roll off, and you're like, well, dang, I wish we could have done that, and I wish we could have done this. So all we mostly see most of the time is what's wrong with the game and what we need to do to make a better title. So that's why I said it's surprising.
So
I'm happy that people like the game.
So, I mean, I will tell you this. I mean, I've been saying it all year long. Ever since MLB The Show came out on the PlayStation 4, I have played it. I'm still playing it. It's December. I've played it on a regular basis. It is, for me, in many ways, has just been, I was expecting to like it, but I was not expecting to like it as much as I did. And what has struck me is the different reasons that different people like it. Like, I'll tell you one of the reasons that I like it. I really love the ability to player lock for the first 5 or 6 innings of a game. And then if it's a close game, go out of player lock and then just play the last 3 or 4 innings of a game straight up 9,